首先，我还是要感谢禅中心，还有圣严师傅，还有所有在这边的义工们，让这一场讲座变成可能。
So the title of my talk today is Self and Other, and I will, after a brief introduction, be getting into some of those concerns which are very problematic for us in everyday life.
今天呢，我讲座的题目是叫“自我和他人”。首先我会做一些介绍、开场白，然后呢，我会谈到一些大家都会很关心的一些话题。
So, what is wonderful about studying and practicing Buddha Dharma is the relative inexpense, lack of expense of the equipment you need. Imagine if you take up golfing or skiing, hundreds of dollars for equipment.And perhaps hundreds more to actually play each time.
So, 学习佛法，就学习佛法有一个好处啊，它是相对一个，比较便宜，不是一个很贵的一个爱好。比如说，如果你喜欢打高尔夫球或者喜欢滑雪的话，那么光器械你就要花几百美元去准备。
It's tempting to say that it's very cheap indeed to practice and study the Dharma.You might think that all you need is a pillow, space, some books, a few Dharma talks, and time, and that's it. And furthermore, you're trying to dispense with attachment to what's outside and to what's inside of you, so perhaps it's even less expensive than you might imagine.
所以我们很容易想说啊，学习和修行佛法真的是很便宜的一件事情，因为你所有需要的就是一个坐垫啊，一些空间，然后一些书，然后听几场佛法讲座，还有你需要花一点时间，好像就是这样而已啊。而且由于学习了佛法呢，你也要练，你要试图不要对外界的东西太执着，而把自己的注意力放在内心，所以这样可能比你想象的还要更不昂贵，更便宜。
On the other hand, perhaps the cost of practicing is unimaginable, since the Dharma is only a guide to who, what, why, and how you are, and there's nothing that you encounter in any given moment that you can avoid in the sense of just making it go away.Then the real cost in practicing is the entirety of your life, devoting yourself to the practice. It's the world and every sentient being around you. And how would you put a price tag on that?
但或许修行佛法真正的代价其实并超出我们的想象。因为佛法只是一个向导，就是说对于你是谁，是什么，该怎么做，你在每一分每一秒都会遇到这样的问题，这样的选择，所以它的真实的代价可能是你整个生命，整个围绕你的世界。像这样，这样一种情况，你怎么可能在这种练习上放一个价码呢
？And what are the benefits of practicing and pursuing the Dharma? Is it in what you get or what you get rid of, or is it?Neither of those two, and what you're looking for lies neither in a question or an answer. The practice is really about the views that you rely on every day, which you are dead certain are real, but which are rooted in illusions. Your imagination of the future, the past, fears and desires, not in what is before you in every moment.
那么修行佛法它的利益到底在什么地方呢？是说你得到了什么呢？还是你去掉了什么呢？还是说两个都不是？还是说你是在既不是一个问题也不是一个答案？它实际上是一种你依靠这种观念来生活的一种东西，一种利益。那么怎样一种观念呢？就是说我们要很清楚，我们时时刻刻呢都是活在一种幻觉当中，我们这种幻觉是一种对将来、对过去充满了恐惧啊，或者欲望啊这种样的幻觉当中在生活。我们没有真正的活在当下。
It's easy to talk about getting rid of views. Talk is cheap, of course. And that would seem to be very simple and straightforward, just getting rid of your views. But we're not talking here because of what's simple. We're here because of what's complex. Complexity, that is our making. Oftentimes, things do not seem to be right. We have a sense of what we'd like to happen, but we're often disappointed. Mark Twain said, "Some of the worst things in my life never happened." That's about fear and aversion. We could also say, "Some of the best things in my life never happened." That's about desire and fantasy. All of these feelings arise from dukkha, how an unclear view of life engenders a sense of dissatisfaction, imperfection, unreliability, suffering. This is because we walk around in a state of illusion. As Sherfu once said, we are born in a dream and we die in a stupor.
所以说，意识到自己一直活在一种幻觉当中，是对过去未来时时刻充满了恐惧啊或者欲望的这种幻觉当中是很简单的，意识到或者谈话是很简单，说说是很简单的，但是我们今天在这里谈的不是它简单性，而是它的复杂性。就是说我们自我的组成是非常复杂的，对自我这种观念是非常复杂的，因为我们经常会有一种感觉，就是我们想要什么或者我们希望什么发生，但是我们没有得到，我们就会很失望。马克吐温曾经说，他说我想象中的是我人生中最糟糕的事情其实从来都没有发生过。他讲的是他内心的恐惧啊排斥。我们也可以说我们想象的我生活中最美好的事情也从来没发生过。这个主要是指我们想要的欲望啊还有我们的幻觉幻想啊，我们幻想东西不见得能拿得到。所有这一些恐惧幻想欲望都是源自于佛教所说的苦。那么由于这种观念呢，导致了你感觉到的不对生活的不满啊，造成了很多痛苦。所以我们师父曾经说，我们一直是不管是生和死啊，我们都是在梦里边，好像都是一团迷糊。
So why is this the case that we walk around in a dream or in a stupor? And also, this is the sort of thing that you don't take my word for it. This is the kind of thing you investigate. This is a claim of the practice that we are in a dream. And are we really to believe this, that we are misperceiving the world?
那么到底是怎么回事呢？我们为什么像师父所说的，我们不管是生还是死，都像在梦里边这样一团迷糊的这样活着，这样过着？当然就是说，不要把我的话当成真言，你自己也要思考一下，是不是这样子？你是不是觉得自己是活在一个幻觉当中
？In some of my past talks, I've covered impermanence and more recently emptiness.Sherfu stated that these very important understandings are preliminary and essential to disassembling the king of illusions, the sense of self. In Western terms, this might be referred to as ego, id, and superego, all of them rolled up together, all dualistic tendencies within the mind. And that's what we'll be exploring today.
在我过去的讲座中呢，我已经谈到过无常啊，还有最近谈到过空性啊，师父说这些是非常重要，这些对这些的理解是非常重要的，因为只有理解了之后，才能够真正的开始拆除这种幻觉，对自我的执着。如果从西方的语言来说，就是这种强烈的自我，强烈自我的和二元，在心中二元对立这种强烈的感觉，这个就是我们今天想要进一步探索的。
But the idea that we may not be who and what we think we are, and that we may be the source of our own distress, that is a little more disturbing. We have to look at the world in here, inside of us. Turn the light around, as Chan Master Shurjo Shitren instructs. That is, observe the observer, observe the observing.
但是如果意识到我们自己其实是造成痛苦的源泉，甚至意识到我们有这样一生活在这样一种幻觉，愚昧当中，无知当中，是让人很不舒服的一种感觉。但是就像一个禅师说到，我们就像石头西迁禅师教导我们的，我们要回光返照，要审查自己的内心，来审查观察这个观察者本身，用这样的方法，来达到去除这种愚痴的状态。
The instruction to look within is not only disturbing, it can be baffling. This idea that we have to look beyond our usual conceptual way of seeing the world. So, speaking right here, I certainly seem to be talking and experiencing words coming out of my mouth. And anyone in whom I haven't induced massive amounts of boredom yet, will hear what I'm saying and perhaps have some kind of reaction to it. This room, us in it, the talk, the sunshine, everything around us seems to be quite real.
比如说我现在，当然就是说，意识到自己是造成所有痛苦的源泉的时候，不仅仅是让人感到很不舒服，而且有点迷惑，不明白这是什么意思。比如说我现在正在这里讲课，然后我很清楚觉得很真实的听到我自己的声音，我的话讲出来。如果大家还没有感到大家在认真听也没有走神的话，那么也会听到我说的话，然后我还看到这里的房间，看到阳光，似乎一切都是很真实的。
But who is doing all of this? All of this experiencing, the talking, the listening,And what underlies all that is going on? Are there unwarranted assumptions that accompany what we experience? Is there a name for this? How can we know it? What trouble are we getting into when we do label our experience and categorize and codify what we're doing? And if imposing views on ourselves and the world is a problem, how do we stop? Why is it a problem?
但是是谁在体验我刚刚所描述的这些现象呢？是谁在体验到我正在说话，然后大家坐在下面正在听得到，体验到听，然后我体验到房间，体验到阳光，到底是谁在体验呢？而在体验的同时我们的经验又是如何的？到底是怎么？我们是怎么给这些体验取名字的？我们怎么是怎么样贴标签的？在贴标签的同时，我们又会有各种各样的观念，会认为这个世界是有问题的。我们应该怎么样可以停止这种贴标签或者强加各种各样的观念？为什么又要想停止？
It's not like we are unwilling students. All of us have come in search of something, perhaps the Dharma, perhaps the air conditioning. It's hard to say sometimes. But many of us are here for very serious study and practice and have a deep interest in the Dharma. And many of us have studied and practiced for years and have benefited greatly.But uncertainty often lingers within us. Not many of us embody the understanding that there is no suffering. Most of us feel that we do, to a larger or lesser extent, experience suffering. Whether we are beginners or experienced, we still have much to learn or unlearn, as the case may be. Mm.
因为我们并不是说我们好像是不想要学习的学习不想要做到的差学生一样，因为我们当中很多人已经学习佛法很多年了，而且也从中受益很大但是还是有一些不确定的 不确定性经常会萦绕在自己脑海中，因为不是我们所有的人都能够体现出这种理解，就是说这世界上是没有痛苦的。不管我们是初学者还是有经验的人，我们还是有很多需要去学习。
As one Rinpoche put it, you think you are real, and that is correct. But you think you are really real, and that is the problem.
就像有一个仁波切指出说，如果你认为你是真实的，那是正确的。但是如果你认为你真的是真实的，那么这就是一个问题了。
So it's important to say, of course, that we have selves. Expedient means of engaging in our lives. Minds and bodies that interact with the world in a given moment. And if we're fortunate, react appropriately. But it's our take on this interaction and existence, our sense of self, SOS, that is so problematic. And actually, Simon Child sometimes has students who hear talks like this, and they say, we don't exist. And he says, fine, don't come to breakfast, lunch, or dinner if you don't exist.
所以当然 是非常重要的承认，首先我们是有自己这个感觉的，这个自己自我是一种善巧方便，是我们与我们说自己是有自己的身和心，这种自我的身心是一种善巧方便，我们可以用来跟外界互动啊，打交道啊，在每一个当下都会做出希望是正确的互动。但是呢，是我们如何看待这种与外界的互动以及存在，这种对自我的感觉有时候会出问题。就像禅法老师 Simon Child 曾经说过，如果你认为自己不存在的话，那么好，那你在吃早饭、中饭、晚饭的时候就不要出现了。
I recently gave a Dharma talk in Westchester where I had a student who had no experience in meditation.Or any knowledge of Buddhism at all. After giving him some instruction on how to meditate, I said, all you need is one Dharma talk and one meditation session to be set for life. If it weren't for a few trivial factors, such as your conditioning, your upbringing, and your karma, which has resulted in the body and mind you were born with, and the decisions you made, and the actions you performed with what you were given.The basics of Buddhism are very straightforward. Take a few concepts, investigate them, and you're off and running. But of course, it's not that easy.
我最近呢，在 Westchester 这个地方给了一个佛法讲座。有一个学生呢，他几乎在打坐和佛法知识上呢，是没有什么经验的，是一个新手。然后在听到我给出一些指导如何打坐之后呢，我说其实你所需要的就是一场听一场佛法讲座，然后打一支香的坐，好像就可以开始了。因为但是呢，这里有一个问题是，还是有几个因素需要考虑，比如说你现在的身心你身心的状况啊，包括你的成长的背景，还有你的业力，你现在所拥有的身心状况，以及你每天所做的决定啊，都是跟业力相关的。因为基础佛法的基本理念其实是非常简单的，只不过是一些观念、一些概念，然后你可以学习之后呢，去仔细的去调查、去检测，然后你就可以开始修行了。当然，实际上却并没有这么简单。
So let's take a little deeper look into the sense of self that we have and the way that we ordinarily experience it. We will divide this into two parts. First, we'll look at some traditional ways that Buddha Dharma looks at the self, and we'll go into that kind of analysis. And then we'll look at the sense we have of others, that there are other people in the world, and we have a take on that. We look at ourselves as being separate from other people, and we'll show that sense of otherness is really your sense of self in disguise.
所以接下来我们就要仔细的审查一下自我，我们对自我这种感觉，还有我们平时生活中的经验。我会把我们将分两个部分，两种方法来做这种审查。首先呢，我们会用一些传统的分析自我的方法来审查一下，看一下我们是怎样产生这种自我的感觉的，以及我们对周围的人的感觉，好像周围的人是在我们身体以外的，是跟我们分离的，不一样的。但如果我们仔细的探索的话，会发现我们对其他人的这种感觉，实际上也是我们自我感觉的一种伪装。
First, let's look at a traditional analysis of the sense of self, the teaching of anatta, not self, no self. Ordinary sense of self cannot be separated from the possessive concepts of mine, yours, ours, myself, yourself, ourselves. When we talk about the self, we generally think it's somebody's self. We often talk about the self, but it's always belonging to someone. It's not something floating out in the air, unconnected. So if we eliminate the personal pronoun and look at self, then there's a radical shift in perspective.
所以让我们先看一下这种传统的分析方法。比如说有几种方式来理解佛教所说的无我，没有自我。一般人的感觉，对自我的感觉是很难从我的、你的、我们的、你们的这种附属性质上来区分开来的。如果你是谈到自我，那么一定会讲是谁的自我，是你的自我还是我的自我，似乎必须要有一种附属感。如果把这种附属感去掉的话，就纯粹讲自我，而不没有任何附属，没有任何人去附属上去的话，这个整个角度就不一样了。
So me, mine, yours, their, personal pronouns, all about ownership. It's a very important concept to us. The feeling of having something, possession, control, command.We could acknowledge that our material possessions are iffy propositions at best. They break, wear out, get stolen, get misplaced, get lost, get old, obsolete, useless, unavailable, no matter what we do. But at least we have ourselves. We exist, right? We don't think that we are going to disappear anytime soon, no matter how intellectually clear.We are that is not the case. In the way we operate, despite what we think we know, we act as if death is a fairy tale that concerns other people. We resist any implication that we ourselves are not rock solid.
所以刚刚说到，谈到自我的时候，一般人都会联想到是谁的自我，是你的、我的，还是我们的、他们的。就是很难不加这种附属属性。为什么呢？因为这里反映的是一个拥有者，拥有权，能控制权，是对我们来说是非常重要的一种观念。我们需要能够感觉到是在能够控制其他的，是能够拥有一些东西的。我们拥有的物质产品、物质东西，我们很明白它用用会就会旧啊，就会破掉啊，或者被偷掉呀，或者掉了找不到了，或者不再可以用了，这些我们可以理解，我们愿意承认。但是当我们谈到自己自我存在的时候，我们就不愿意相信我们会消失，总有一天我们会消失，似乎认为虽然理论上其实很简很清楚，我们有一天会死亡，身体会死亡，但是呢我们却不这么认为。我们认为死亡是一个很遥远的，像一个童话故事一样，是跟其他人有关，跟我是没有关系的。我们会非常排斥任何暗示我们自己其实也是并不是真实，并不是像一个石头那样坚实存在，拥有总有一天也会消失，这样一种想法。
So let's see what the Buddha had to say about ownership. And when I read this passage from the Samyutta Nikaya, when you hear the word renounce, you really should understand that it means let go of, not attached to. So, at one time, the Lord was staying near Sarvati and said, "What is your, not yours, bhikkhus, renounce it. Renounce it. It will be to your good, to your happiness. And what, bhikkhus, is not yours? The body, bhikkhus, is not yours. Feeling, perception, mental activities, consciousness, bhikkhus, it's not yours. Renouncing it will be to your good, to your happiness. It is as if a person were to carry away, burn, or do as he pleased with the grass, twigs, branches, and foliage in this Jeta Grove," where the Buddha was staying with his monks. "Would it occur to you to say, the person is carrying us away, is burning us, is doing with us as he pleases?" "Certainly not, sir," the bhikkhu said. "For what reason? Because, Lord, this is not ourselves, nor what belongs to ourselves. So also, bhikkhus, the body is not yours. Renounce it. Renouncing it will be to your good, to your happiness. Feeling is not yours. Perception is not yours. Mental activities are not yours. Consciousness is not yours. Renounce it. Renouncing it will be to your good, to your happiness."
所以让我们听听佛陀是怎么对于这种存在与自我存在感、自我拥有感这种想法的解释的。佛陀有一次说到比丘啊，不是你的东西你一定要放下它，放下之后对你来说是有好处的，是可以让你获得快乐的。那么比丘，什么不是你的呢？你的身体不是你的，你的感情、你的感觉不是你的，你的你的想法、各种心理活动还有意识，这些都不是你的，所以你必须要放下它们。而且放下之后呢，你才能获得真正的快乐。比如说有一个人正在几孤独园收拾正在收拾野草或者树枝掉下来的树枝，但当你看到这个情况的时候，你会说，哦，这个人正在把我收拾走，把我燃烧起来，或者他正在跟做我相关有相关的事情吗？比丘回答说，当然不会了。为什么呢？因为比丘回答说，佛陀，因为这些东西既不是跟我相关，也不是属于我的一部分，所以我当然不会觉得他那个人在收拾杂草树枝的时候会跟我有什么关系。所以啊，比丘，身体也不是你的，你应该放下它，就像你看到刚举例一样，所以你的感觉不是你的，你观察到的也不是你的，你的心理活动、你的意识都不是你的，其实都应该放下，这样子你才会得到真正的快乐。
And remember, as Joseph Goldstein points out, when the Buddha uses the word bhikkhus, its original meaning was people on the path. So these words can be understood as being directly to us as well. The Buddha says that the five skandhas, our bodies and minds, don't belong to us. This seems to be a rather strange assertion. Right, if I asked everyone here to raise their right hand or close their left eye, supposing that you're not disabled, everyone can do it, right? Raise your hand, close your left eye, because it's your right hand and your left eye. It belongs to you, right? Of course, if I were able to make this request 100 years from now, the results might not be so simple. And indeed, it is your body and your body alone that is sitting on the chair. You are the sole undisputed owner. So I could easily say, do not allow your body to age or get sick. Most people would gladly follow that suggestion, but unfortunately, there's no guarantee that you can do it. As a matter of fact, there is every guarantee that over time you will not be able to maintain your youth at the age you want or fend off illness or death for that matter.
所以刚刚说到的佛陀在给这个教义的时候呢，他当时是对着五个乞丐说的。但是这个比谷这个意思就是说，在已经上了修行道的人就是修行的人，所以他可以说这些教诲是直接针对我们的。 让当佛陀说到我们的五蕴、我们的身体、我们的身心都不属于我们自己的时候呢，好像听上去是一个非常奇怪的一种论断。因为如果我让你在座的任何一个人举起你的右手或者闭上你的左眼，如果假设你没有残疾的话，你是能够做的，你是对自己身体是有控制的，所以如果说你不是自己身体主人，似乎从这个角度来说就讲不通，但是我如果对你说从现在开始，你让你的身体不要变老，也不要生病。我想很多人听到之后会很乐意接受这个建议和这个指示，但是很遗憾的是没有人能保证能做得到，所以过一段时间你就会知道你是没有办法真正的控制你的青春、你的健康，或者你希望不死就可以不死的。
So the body is not a reliable candidate to be taken as the self, because whatever the self is, it should be yours to command as you wish. How about your sensations, perceptions, volition, and consciousness? Let's just roll all of these into one thing, your state of mind in the conventional sense, how you're feeling, the thoughts in your head. Now let me suggest that you keep a positive, peaceful, happy state of mind at all times. Nothing but pleasant thoughts, no despair.Ever. Nothing but peaceful compassion. Why wouldn't you want to comply with that? It's got to be better than walking around anxious or depressed all or some of the time.
所以说身体其实并不是一个很可靠的可以让我们抓到自我的这样一样东西。因为如果是因为不管自我是什么，如果你的身体真的可以你真的对自己的身体做得了主的话，那么你进一步可以对自己的感受啊，或者色受想行识这些意识啊都可以做主。比如说，现在我们在谈话的时候，我建议你的心里面永远起的都是正向的念头，或者是平和的、快乐的，永远保持这样一种心态。你所有的起的念头都是开心的念头，也没有绝望啊，没有焦虑啊，没有抑郁啊。我想所有的人都会希望自己永远都是起快乐的念头，而远离那些负面的念头。可实际上呢，我们却是做不了主的。
So ownership is a very problematic kind of concept. It's always contingent on something. You may have a phone, a car, your apartment, but the phone in and of itself can't work unless it's got a full charge, there's service in the area, there's someone to receive your phone call, and same with your car, your apartment, everything that you own, your ability to use it is contingent on other things.
所以我们觉得，所以其实你觉得你拥有了一样东西，或者你可以对一样东西做主，实际上是一个，仔细想想是一个很有问题的一种想法。比如说，你会说你拥有你的车子，你拥有你的房子，你拥有你的 iPhone， 你可以开车去任何地方，如果你有时间、有钱，或者这个路畅通的话，而且你能够开车的话，那么你可以开车去你想去地方。当你用你的手机的话，那么你用来打电话给别人，如果你认为他们是可以接你电话的，而且你也有电池，并且这个地方正好是有信号的，那么你才可以用你的手机。所以那种所谓能够拥有和做主都要取决于很多条件。比如说你的房子，你的确可以让任何人住在你的房子里，或者你可以对这个房子做任何你需要的改动，但是你也不能够违反法律啊，你也不能够掉了钥匙进不去了，你也必须要定期要付你的付你银行账单啊，还要付税啊。而且并且你要是在不生病的状态啊，就在这种状态下你可以拥有享受你的房子。 所以听上去好像你拥有了这么多东西，但实际上呢，它总是取决于一些其他条件。
So if you go over what the Buddha said, the idea of abandoning body, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness, you might ask, where in all of this, body and mind, where is the self? It's not in any one of the five skandhas, and if it lies in the combination of body and mind, well, that's not very reliable. They're continually changing, thoughts one after the other, body changing, getting sick. It certainly wouldn't be this impregnable fortress that we take to be ourselves. What we cherish and protect seems to be very tenuous.
所以你要是仔细想想佛陀说的话，就是说我们要放下我们自己的身体啊，身心感受啊，放下自己这种意识，因为这些其实都不是组成这种自我比较可靠的材料。那么你就会想，这个自我到底存在于什么地方呢？不存在于身心的话，因为他们不是很可靠。所以我们一直这么深紧紧抓住的很珍惜的想要保护的到底是什么呢？
So what did the Buddha mean by abandoning mind and body? He certainly didn't mean committing suicide or covering your sense organs so they wouldn't need to function. What is to be abandoned is attachment to an identification with the five skandhas and the senses and all of our concepts.That is abandoning a sense of ownership because you don't really own the five skandhas or your senses. They're really portals. Like the grass, twigs, and branches and foliage in the Jeddah Grove, or the walls or floors, floor right here, right? You may interact with them for a time, but you don't own them. Seeing this clearly and developing the ability to detach...and stay detached from illusory views of self is a key teaching.
所以当佛陀让我们要放下身心的时候，他到底是什么意思呢？他当然不是说你要去自杀，或者是说把你的五官遮起来，从此再也不让它运作，当然不是这意思。他说的去放下主要是指对这种自我认识，自我这种五蕴为我的这种执着的放下，因为一定要放弃这种观念，要放弃这种认为自己能做得了主，自己拥有这些东西，拥有自己身心的这样一种想法，因为你并不真正的拥有五蕴，并不真正的能够对五蕴的现象或者这种感官做得了主。就像在比喻当中说到的被收拾起来的杂草啊，树叶啊，这些还有包括我们现在感受到的禅中心的墙啊，地板啊，整个的房子呀，我们虽然跟它在互动，在某个时间段在跟它互动，但是这些你都并不拥有，你做不了主。如果你能够真正明白并且能够训练自己有一种能力啊，不去执着这些东西那么慢慢的你会对自我这种虚幻的感觉会能够有所放下。
So the issue is not really whether there is or is not a self. The issue is really suffering. The feelings of dis-ease, of unsatisfactoriness we have. So that's why when Vajragota, a wandering ascetic, approached the Buddha and asked him a number of questions, mainly about the self and the length and of the universe and various abstract questions, the Buddha would not answer. He wouldn't say that there was a self, and he wouldn't say that there was no self. And the reason for that is not he didn't want to fall into either a nihilistic or an eternalisticduality, but he wasn't going to distort his view of moment-to-moment awareness and give Vajragota something that he was looking for. It's the way that Vajragota was seeking the answer. He was seeking it in something he could put his hand on, so to speak, either there really is a self or there really is no self. Buddha wouldn't go there. He just didn't answer.
所以在这里，我们可以看出来，是否自我到底存在不存在，并不是问题的关键。问题的关键是由此而产生对这个观念执着，由此而产生的苦痛苦，由这种不满足而导致的痛苦。就像有一个游走的苦行者向佛陀请教，一种比较抽象的观念，到底自我到底存在不存在的时候，佛陀是保持沉默的。佛陀既没有告诉他存在，也没有说不存在。不仅仅是因为佛陀不想落在虚无主义和实有主义这二元两边，二元理论的两边，佛陀主要是想让他体验到当下的每一个觉知，而不要执着在这种观念上。
So understandably, Vajragada was exasperated. He asked the Buddha, does Master Gautama have any position at all? A position, Vajra, is something that a Tathagata has done away with. What a Tathagata sees is this. Such is form, such its origination, such its disappearance, such is feeling. Such its origination, such its disappearance.Such is perception, such are fabrications, such is consciousness, origination and disappearance. Because of this, I say, a Tathagata with the ending, fading away, cessation, renunciation, and relinquishment of all construings, that's manufacturing things of the mind, all excogitation, thinking and concepts, all eye-making and mind-making and obsessions with conceits,It's through renouncing that and a lack of clinging in that the Tathagata became liberated.
所以，听到佛陀这样的教导的时候，这个苦行者就觉得很奇怪，很绝望。然后他就问，佛陀说：“那么，佛陀，你到底有没有一个立场呢？立场，佛陀说是跟他说每一个立场其实是跟真如当下的真如是有关的比如说从真如的角度来说就是说这个是形状这个是色这个是起源这个是消失这个是感受这个是你的心建构出来的一种虚幻这个所有的产生消失停止或者新的建构所有这些跟我自我相关的建构全都可以放下跟全都放下了那么你才这就是可以说是真如就是全部放下
So Vajragada told the Buddha that he was perplexed Of course you're befuddled Vajra Of course you're confused Deep Vajra is this phenomenon Hard to see Hard to realize Tranquil refined, beyond the scope of conjecture, subtle, to be experienced by the wise. For those with other views, other practices, other satisfactions, other aims, other teachers, it is difficult to know.
所以这个苦行者说他非常困惑他告诉佛陀他非常困惑当然他会非常困惑因为这种现象在很深刻的地方是很难去观察很难去理解很难去真正的体验到它对很多修行来说是非常难以理解的
So we should give ourselves a break when we study this teaching of no self it's difficult and we have to use wordsin order to convey the ideas, but the idea is not to get caught up in the ideas, not to reify them.
所以我们要对自己不要太要求太高。当我们在观察、在审查这些观念、在无我、在理解无我观念的时候呢，也不能对自己要求过高，因为这是一个非常复杂的一个观念。而且有些时候他的问题也不仅仅是只是观念上的理解他需要自己的修行去体会
I came across this question on the internet someone who obviously just started studying Buddhism so here's the question if I love my mother but my mother has no self how can I really love her Is my love an illusion? Is my concern for her future nonsense? The question certainly makes the whole question of anatta less abstract. Here's a woman who has definite feelings for her mother, but has learned about the doctrine of anatta and now has doubts. How can you love someone who doesn't exist? Of course, the smart alecky answer would be, well, look, you don't exist either, so there's no problem.
我在互联网上看到过这样一个问题，有一个人在说，他说，如果我说我很爱我的母亲，但是我母亲呢又是无我的，没有自我的，那么我怎么可能真的爱她呢？难道我的爱是一种幻觉？还难道我对她的未来这种关心，难道是没有道理可言的？他的问题其实让整个无我的观念变得不是那么抽象了，因为这里比如说这里这个女的她很关心她的母亲，她对她的母亲有很多爱，但是当她听说了佛法无我的观念以后呢，她就产生了疑惑，你怎么可以爱一个不存在的人呢？当然有一个偷巧的方法来回答的话，你可以这么看啊，其实你也不存在，所以这里也没有什么问题。
But it's important to treat this seriously. This is a perfect case of reifying the practice so that it becomes something that it is not really. The whole point of the teaching of anatta is to help us to recognize what actually keeps us from freely living in the world.It points out how illusions get in the way of our interactions with ourselves and others.
实际上是这个问题，其实是不仅是个笑话，它是更重要的，我们可以好好来对待的。因为这是一个很好的例子来说，我们的修行到底是应该怎么样的？整个的观念不是说没有不存在自我，而是说这种无我的观念是如何来够能让我们在生活在这个世界时候与他人互动的时候能够更自由，而不受到我们的愚痴和幻觉的影响。
The relationship between her and her mother doesn't have to change because of a Buddhist concept. Supposing they're there for one another, a study of recognition, awareness of, and integration of what anatta is pointing at, all of this, if they really look at the teaching, will allow their relation to be deep, open, and free. The codependence, fear, narcissism, territoriality, insensitivity, and many other negative conditions that may lurk within a relationship can be avoided, not simply by...The teaching of anatta. Sometimes these problems are very deep, but it's certainly a very firm basis.
所以，这位女士跟她母亲的关系，并不应该因为听到了佛法无我的观念而受到任何的影响，负面的影响，因为。其实如果他真正的能够理解无我的观念的话，他和他母亲之间的关系会更进一步的深化，会更加的开放，更自由，更有积极的正面的作用，而负面的一些关系，一些负面的一些影响，比如说害怕呀，或者自恋啊，或者不够体贴啊，对对方不够体贴观察呀，像这种负面的东西反而会可以被避免。所以如果你真正理解无我的观念，或者能够运用这个无我的观念的话，所以也不能说这种爱，这种对母亲的爱是一种虚幻，只有当他执着于这种观念，这种产生的虚幻的观念的时候，那么才是有问题的。所以我们并不应该误解的无我这种观念。
And is the love itself an illusion? Only to the extent that she holds onto it and makes it into her own image. Ourselves and our interactions are quite real. But we tend to have unreasonable fears of abandonment or unrealistic expectations of loyalty intimacy and presence.
所以，爱是不是一个幻觉呢？只有当我们过于执着它，把这种爱，执着于这种紧紧抓住的时候，才会出现问题。而我们自己和他人之间的互动其实是非常真实的。出问题的是我们倾向于会产生一些不讲道理的一些恐惧啊，或者被害怕被抛弃啊，或者一些不切实际的对对方的期望啊，对对方忠诚亲密或者时刻要出现这种期望才是有问题的。
The problem of what transpires in the world and what we make of it is an essential question in Chan. We get caught up in what we can see, hear, and feel. In so doing, we corroborate our views, our prejudices, and considered opinions. Abraham Lincoln said, "People who like that sort of thing are going to find that that's the sort of thing that they like." Right? And as Alan Watts said, it's not that seeing is believing, it's that believing is seeing. We perceive things, we make decisions and takes and we get takes on things according to our preconditioned views.
所以这个世界存在的问题呢，以及禅当中谈到的自我的一些问题，实际上主要是指我们经常会执着我们看到的、听到的和感受到东西，而被这种执着深深的包围着。所以我们怎么样可以真正的理解到我们的观念呢？看到跟我们自己的生活经验相结合呢？就像林肯，美国总统林肯说到的，如果你喜欢一些东西的话，你总会找到这些东西，这些东西总会出现的。那也就是说，就像 Alan Watts 也会讲到，看到即相信，实际上是相信了才会看到。这些谈的都是我们的身心已经被我们的经验已经被我们所能体验到的东西已经被我们的经验所决定了。
I remember Sherfu giving a talk once, and he said about the Buddha, he said, you can't see the Buddha. And about the Dharma, he said, you can't see the Dharma. And he said, all you can see is the Sangha. He spread his arms wide, right? That's it. But doesn't mean that these things don't exist. We are sometimes prisoners of our perceptions.
就像师父有一次说到三宝，他佛法僧三宝，你看不到佛，你看不到法，你只能看到僧，然后他就做了这样一个手势。实际上呢，佛法僧三宝都是存在的，但是由于我们自己的业力的状态，我们都体验不到。
So in the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha cautions us not to be deluded by our senses. He says, if you seek to perceive me in form, if you search for me by listening to sounds, you are treading a perverted path, and you will not be able to see the Tathagata.
就像在《金刚经》当中，佛陀警示我们，不要被我们的感知所困惑。比如若以色见我，以音声求我，是人行邪道，不能见如来。
And it might be added that if you seek to find your own self in form or sound or through any of the senses, your search will also be futile.
我们也可以这样理解，加上去说，如果你想要在你的色身或者是你的形状、声音或者通过其他感官来寻找自我的话，那么你终究是徒劳而获的。
So going back to the sutta I quoted earlier,the Buddha said, so also, bhikkhus, the body is not yours, renounce it. Renouncing it will be to your good, to your happiness. Feeling is not yours. Perception is not yours. Mental activities are not yours. Consciousness is not yours, renounce it. Renouncing it will be to your good, to your happiness. The Buddha tells the bhikkhus that in renouncing all of these things that do not belong to them, he says it will be to your good, to your happiness.Who does the your belong to in that, in that phrase, because he's basically gone through everything there is and says it doesn't belong to them. So if there was no I, me, mine, you, yours, us, who would it be who is becoming happy?
让我们回到刚刚我们讲到的提到的这个佛陀跟修行者的对话当中，佛陀劝修行者要放下自己的所感受受想行识这些所感受到的东西，因为这些都不是你的，放下对你而言是有好处的，是能够让你真正快乐的。那么当佛陀在对于修行者说这番话的时候，他到底让他他让他放下所有的东西，然后说对你有好处，那么这个你到底是谁，到底属于谁呢？如果这里没有我，没有我的，没有你，没有你的，那么到底这个对你有好处，让你有快乐，这个你到底是属于谁的呢？
So in telling the bhikkhus to renounce these things, we have to be careful of getting caught up in the names of things. We're using language, right? Remember, the Buddha doesn't regard sentient beings as separate entities in need of saving in the way that we might think. The Diamond Sutra makes this clear. When asked by Subhuti to describe how bodhisattvas should train their thoughts, the Buddha states that they must vow to liberate all sentient beings, no matter what type of sentient being. And then the Buddha adds, and when these immeasurable, countless, infinite number of sentient beings have been liberated, in actuality, no sentient being has attained liberation. Why is this so? Subhuti, if a bodhisattva abides in the signs of self, person, sentient being, or lifespan, she or he is not a bodhisattva.
所以这里提到的要注意的是，我们经常会现在贴标签给各种事物起名字这样一种习惯当中，因为我们习惯用语言所以我们必须要非常小心。就像大家不知道大家记不记得，在佛陀在金刚经当中提到，他说众生的时候，虽然说到我们要度众生，但实际上金刚经也说得很清楚，当须菩提问佛陀作为菩萨应该如何来训练或他们的心念的时候，佛陀提到他们必须要发愿，要度尽所有的众生，度尽无量的众生，不管是什么样的类什么样类的众生。但是当所有众生都被度的时候呢，实际上又没有众生被度，这到底是什么回事呢？佛说，须菩提，如果一个菩萨他认为有自己，有他人，有众生，有受者相，他人相，然后如果是这样的话，那么他就不是一个菩萨。
So notice that the Buddha talks about the signs of self, person, sentient being, or lifespan, not these purported entities themselves. So the teaching is not about what is out there or in here, but about our perceptions. We get trapped by signs, outward characteristics, labels, concepts, thoughts, all of these things we attach to.
注意这里佛陀提到的是我相、人相、众生相、受者相，这些都是就是这些都是众生一般容易贴标签，容易给他取名相的一些地方，我们经常会被这些名相和标签所困扰。
So, and the Buddha also remarks about how a teaching like this can cause great shock and alarm in people who hear it. I mean, the people who misunderstand and think that perhaps they don't exist and they simply don't understand the doctrine. And he says that people who can understand and uphold it are very rare and fortunate.
在《金刚经》当中，佛陀也提到，他也意识到这种说法，我相、人相、众生相、受者相是一种 不是很让很容易让人接受的是，有些人听了会觉得很恐怖的一种说法。所以他在《金刚经》中提到，若复有人得闻是经，不惊不畏不怖，不畏不惊不怖不畏，当知世人甚为稀有。
What of course is most important about the teaching of Anatta is how it can be a great corrective and guide to how we live. Study and investigation are very important, but we live moment to moment. Intellectual understanding is very important, yet what we learn is easy to ignore, and we are still apt to continue in activities dictated by our deluded sense of self. As the Buddha put it,All construings, all excogitations, all eye-making, mind-making, obsessions with conceit. And all of this is mostly invisible to us.
当然我们理解无我观念，无我的教法的，最根本最重要的呢，实际上是用来指导我们的生活的。所以学习啊修行啊都是非常重要的，我们必须要从每一个当下去体验。虽然理论知识的理解也是很重要的，但是我们还是要学会怎么样能够识别，能够放下这种对自我的建构，对我和我的东西的这种各种各样的执着和欺骗，这种东西对我们都是无形的。
These concepts and ideas that we have are very strong in us. They're hard to let go of.So even when we start to look at alternative ways of understanding ourselves, we can still get trapped in other concepts. So, for example, I learned about a concept that a Buddhist scholar named Kapstein mentioned in terms of understanding the self. And he used the Sanskrit word santana, which means a continuity of consciousness, a continuum.A flow of continually changing events that are in constant flux, connected to everyone and everyone else. And that's a very helpful kind of understanding to get away from a fixed view of ourselves. But then what happens, of course, is that you say, oh, okay, I'm a flow. You know, I'm really a really good flow. I'm the best flow that there is. You know, This is really who I am. I'm just this flow. I'm not attached. And next thing you know, you're going through this process of I-making, of selfing, of creating ego and ego concerns, even though you think that you're doing something completely different.
当然能够意识到这一点，能够觉察这一点，其实是非常难的，因为我们的习惯是我们对自我存在的这种强烈执着的习惯是非常强的。就像有人提到说有一个就像这里有一个梵文讲到叫 Santana, 它的意思是一种连续性继续性，是一种意识流，一种不停的不间断的一种意识流。当然这个是能够理解是很好，就是说它实际上是每一个当下每一刻都是在变化当中的，所以像一个意识流一样。但是另一方面，我们的习性呢却很容易让我们想要在这个流动的意识流当中，使每一个当下都想去抓一些东西，把它变成固有的固化的不变的这样一种倾向性。这就是我们对自我的产生的一种执着。
So what is helpful is to go through a process of de-selfing, de-reification. And Guoxing Fosher often talks about not getting caught up in the mother that's in your mind. Your image of your mother seems so real to you, and it's very hard to see that your mother or anyone else that you bring up in your mind is not real. You think that your concepts are actually the person that you're thinking about.
所以我们能够做的就是说反向操作，当我们觉得一样东西非常固有存在的时候，我们要把它反着来想。就像国行法师经常教导我们说，不要犯这个错误，不要把你心中的妈妈当成真的妈妈。 当然这是很难做到跟自己的经验相结合做到，因为很难想象你心中浮现出妈妈形象，她不是你的妈妈，她是一个虚幻的、不真实的一个影像而已。
So what I'm most interested about in this talk is to present ways of looking at the self, ways of unbuckling our ideas, ways of sort of getting outside of the way that we normally see things. And one thing that I thought of that also might be helpful is not only to understand how we regard ourselves, but how we regard other people, right? Because that's, we're looking at people, it's, as Anais Nin says, we don't see others as they are, we see them as we are.
当然我的讲座当中不仅仅是想提到我们应该如何去正确理解自我这个架构建构，其实也会涉及到我们怎么样去理解他人，我们怎么样跟他人互动，实际上我们对他人的看法想法都是还是我们自我的一种延伸。
So we can see how we can we make instantaneous judgments and views of other people. We can start to see how we take a few incidents, a few encounters with another person, and build an illusory scaffolding of who they are. You hear a few ill-advised remarks from someone, and you instantly conclude he or she is a jerk. A few kind gestures or just a casual observation of another, and you think they're really a very nice person, when they could be a drug dealer. How can you tell? What is more, when we look at others in these ways, we take our observations to be inescapable truths. We don't even know we are building up a house of illusions.
我们对其他人的看法判断其实是真的是凭自己的几个印象很快就做出了这种判断。比如说你看到一个人他的行为很不好的时候你就会说啊这个人真是个混蛋。当你看到另一个人可能他给你很好的印象和几个行为让你很赞成的时候，你又觉得哦这是个好人。但是你怎么知道其实他不是一个可能是一个走私犯或者贩毒的一个人呢？其实你并不知道，你只是用你自己固有的观念啊或者偏见啊在判断在你这个人交往的时候做出很快的判断而已。
So most people in America have very strong feelings about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Depending on who you are and what your views are, you may demonize or idolize one or the other. Some people demonize both of them. Actually, I don't think there's a person in the world who idolizes both of them. That person probably doesn't exist. So if one or the other becomes president, what they will or won't do is simply not going to accord with your present imagination about them. Could be worse, could be better. This may seem obvious, but there are many people who expressed an interest in strangling one or the other, and they would be hard to convince that their views are self-generated. They really think that these people embody something, and it has nothing to do with the person who's observing them.
比如说当下的总统大选当中的两位候选者川普跟希拉里有些人呢会把其中的一位呢妖魔化，或者把其中的一位呢偶像化，或者把两个人呢都妖魔化，很难想象有人很难想象有人是都把这两个人当成崇拜偶像一样的。但实际上很难真正的做到能够察觉到意识到不管你是把它妖魔化还是偶像化，其实这些跟他们本人没有关系，其实都是你自己产生的一些想法。
So more strident and alarming in the realm of other making of you know creating this image of the other, we can talk about immigration and terrorism. If one person can be assigned a label that seems to be made out of stone, as the examples I gave before, someone's a jerk, an idiot, or a wonderful person, we just take these labels very easily, right? If that's the case, then it's unfortunately very easy to extend labels like that to whole groups. Donald Trump is famous or infamous for making blanket statements about Mexicans and Muslims. Even though these statements cannot possibly be true in their entirety, they are believed by many people. It seems to be about others, but if you examine any given person who actually believes one of these things, you will find that there are a number of concepts, fears, prejudice, ignorance, all sorts of conditioning that had to be present and precede the acceptance of these attitudes. People are genuinely angry and fearful. They seek someone to blame. Because of selfing, they are blind to their own participation in and generation of their fear and anger.
更让人要吃惊的，或者是要引起警觉的呢，是我们在谈到，比如说在谈到移民啊，或者恐怖主义的时候呢，当一个人你认为他是已经被你贴了标签，说是好人或者坏人，你觉得很真实的时候呢，你还很不幸的呢，把这种标签，把这种判断，延伸到这个人所代表的整个的整体上。比如说Donald Trump 就是非常臭名昭著的对墨西哥裔以及穆斯林呢做出了这种整个 group 这种整个群体的一种判断。虽然他对他们这种声称运用到整个整体的时候是不可能完全正确的。但是还这种说法还是被很多人所相信和接受。但是如果你仔细的想一下或仔细的检测一下，这些人之所以能够相信接受 Trump 的这种理论的时候，你会发现其实是有很多是他们自己产生的观念，比如说害怕呀、偏见啊，或者愚痴啊、无知啊，必须这些东西必须存在在这些愿意接受这种理论的人的身上的时候，他们才能够接受这种理论。但是这些人群又是真的很生气，也很害怕，他们的害怕和生气感觉都是那么真实，所以他们需要找一个外界的理由去责难。正是由于这种他们自己这种状态，他们是无法觉察到在整个过程当中，他们在害怕或者生气的过程当中，他们很难觉察这种害怕和生气其实是他们自己的因素所引起的，而不是他们所假想的对象所引起的。
Unfortunately, the quintessential example of self and other making is terrorism. I have no problem condemningterrorism, regardless of whether that in itself is a prejudice, but it is important to look deeper into the matter. There are many different ideologies behind the face of terrorism. There is left-wing, right-wing, religious, and secular terrorism, but they all involve killing innocent people indiscriminately, although the terrorists seem to believe that there is a reason and justification for their acts.
当然，很不幸的是，就是因为这种区分自我和他人的这种想法呢，造成了恐怖主义。我当然对恐怖主义是也会毫无保留的进行谴责。不管它的发生是由于偏见造成的，还是有更深层次的原因。但是有很多理论，对面对恐怖主义有很多理论啊，这里有左翼的理论、右翼的理论，有宗教上还有非宗教的世俗的各种关于恐怖主义的理论，不管怎么说，他们都会涉及到毫无顾忌的杀害无辜的人群。虽然对于恐怖分子来说，他们似乎认为是有理由来进行这种杀戮。
Faced with such occurrences, we have to deal with our fear and anger, right? Nothing is going to make the idea or the reality of the self become highlighted and more important than a sense of danger. And that's how, and these kind of acts are really about people who have taken the idea of I and thou, self and other, separation between people to a terrible degree. But we as people who read about it and hear about it have to understand how we feel and just understand what is driving our states of mind, because this is something that I think everyone is aware of. So as the Buddhist teacher Judith Leaf says, fear is the gasoline of the ego, the self. There is nothing like it for proliferating and confusing thoughts and emotions.
所以说，面对这些恐怖主义的时候，其实我们必须要面对的是我们自己的恐惧和生气。这些恐惧和生气怎么是跟如何是跟自我相联系的？如何这种生气、这种恐惧，如何是像一个汽油，再加到我们这种自我的这种观念上，然后让它变得越来越恐怖、越来越困惑，产生各种情绪。
In terms of anger or hatred of these people.Guo Gu points out that if we hate anything, it should be not the people, but fear, hatred, and ignorance themselves. In other words, the underlying causes. Understand how these things evolve and how we react to them. If we look at the causes and consequences, there is a wide array of events and conditioning that lead up to these acts. This is not to condone them in any way. What I'm talking about is how we process this information, the terror, literally, that they seek to inflict upon us, and what we do with it. Looking at the causes and conditions, abandoning or transforming hatred, simply lessens our own hatred and therefore our own suffering. It is very important to understand how we can suffer grievously from our own hatred of others, not to mention of ourselves.
所以谈到生气和仇恨，谈到生气仇恨的时候呢，国古萨曾经指出，我们应该痛恨这些生气和仇恨这种现象，但是呢，我们不应该痛恨这些人，因为这些仇恨啊、痛恨、恐惧啊、无知啊，他们本身是。只是产生这种现象，我们应该看到背后的因缘因果，到底是怎样的一系列的因缘因果，导致了这种现象的产生，而不是仇恨这些人。
This also does not mean that we should not take prudent steps and be aware and be careful as we move about the world. But we still have to deal with these.Feelings inside of us of what we're aware of and how we're processing it. And Tibetan Rinpoche Traleg Kyabagan writes, as we look deeply, we can see that there is not an object of fear separate from the subject who is afraid. Think about it. How fearful one is in relation to an object varies from individual to individual.And even with the same individual, it varies from one time to another. Right? Change and permanence are always operative. So how one experiences fear in relation to a particular object of fear this year will be different from last year, or this week from last week, or this afternoon from this morning.
所以刚刚说到的恐惧当然不是说我们不应该采取一些谨慎的措施来保护我们自己或者来这样进行这种生活，只是说我们在跟这种自己的恐惧打交道的时候呢，我们必须能够意识到它所产生的痛苦，因此而产生的痛苦，就像一个仁波切曾经说到，我们必须更深刻地观察我们自己，我们看到这种客观上的恐惧所产生的客观上的恐惧跟主观这种人能感受到恐惧其实是分不开的。比如说一个人对某一样特定现象或者事物的恐惧也是因人而异的，从这个人到另一个人身上，可能这恐惧的程度就不一样。而同一个人，他对同一样东西， 所产生的恐惧也会随着时间的变化而变化，可能他今年特别恐惧一样东西，到了明年或者下一个周下一个月可能有产生不一样的恐惧的对象。
So it's important to understand how the self and self-making operates in these situations. As a metaphor, we can look at the self as a narrative, a story,a string of subplots attached to the story. After all, we have stories about ourselves and, of course, of others. I'm a good person, he's a bad person, I'm a bad person, a victim, I've had a hard life, I've had none of the advantages, or I know everything, I'm just totally wonderful. We have all of these stories and labels that we attach to ourselves, a variety of characteristics.
所以非常重要的是我们需要去仔细的审查我们内心的恐惧和我们是如何受这种恐惧的影响，但是呢也很重要的是能够意识到我们自我是怎么在运作的，特别是很关键的一点是能够理解到我们在看待我们自己的时候实际上经常是一个以一种陈述故事的形式在出现，比如说我们会对自己有这样一种故事，说我是一个好人啊，或者我是一个坏人，或者我是一个受害者呀，或者我的生活很艰难呐、或者我没有这些优势啊，什么什么，这些都是你给你自己讲的一个故事。
So, and if we look in, deeper into our fears about terrorism, we can see that we have internalized a narrative. It's not that we become terrorists in the midst of our fear, hardly.But we do have to take in the entire event, the entire story, which includes perpetrators, victims, bystanders, and potential victims, who are us. Of course, we have deep feelings of sorrow, unspeakable feelings of sorrow and pity and compassion towards the victims and near victims, the entire town or country where an event occurs.But once we have internalized all of this, we unknowingly continue the narrative. This is fine when it leads to strategy and understanding, but it's not so fine when it simply increases fear, worry, anxiety, paranoia. And as the Rinpoche states very clearly, the object of fear is not separate from its subject, the one who is afraid.
所以当我们在仔细审查我们内心对于恐怖主义的恐惧的时候，我们可以看到其实我们也深深地相信了我们给自己讲的这个故事，也就是说当然并不是说我们相信了这个故事我们也成为恐怖分子，只是我们也只是不断地在重复，像我们自己重复这样一个故事，比如说这个故事里有一个坏人，然后有受害者，有观察者，有潜在的受害者，比如说我们将来会成为潜在受害者，然后我们在这个故事当中也有会产生非常强烈的痛苦啊，生气啊，还有忧伤啊，对受害者表示同情啊，但是我们一旦把这些故事的叙述全部内化之后呢，我们其实又在不觉察中继续的延续了这种故事，这种叙述。
So this process of learning about the self, understanding what lies beneath how we look at the world, is a long journey, and it's quicker for some people and not so quick for others. Sherfu has outlined the kind of progress and the steps on this path. We move from a sense of small self, which is certainly my case. This is where you still have a very strong ego and very attached to ideas, but there's a lot of leeway and play within this. You could be an exceedingly nasty, greedy person with small self, or someone who is quite generous and loving, but still the sense of ego is there. And then the next step is the sense of great self. This is the stage of great, great teachers, of religious figures, perhaps in other religions, who have feelings of no longer really identifying so much with their smaller concerns. They're identifying with the world and the entire universe, but nonetheless, there still is some illusion within them. They still have a sense of I. And finally, there is the state of no self, where the sense of I has been transcended, and one now is simply in connection with everything else in the world, and there is really nothing between you and others. It's a state of total non-duality.
当然在我们不断的理解自我组成的过程当中呢，就像师父说到的自我的三个层次，首先我们还是从小我开始，小我就是说你还是有自我的感觉，有自我，有他人，这种二元对立，然后慢慢上升到大我，大我会体现在其他宗教当中，一些伟大的修行者，一些很好的老师当中都会体现到这种大我，就是不再把个体的自我跟其他人区分开来，然后再进一步超越到的就是无我，就是说他已经放下了即便大我这种感觉，而是真正的与二元对立消融掉，然后成为与所有一切都在一起。
So, famously, as Dogen said, to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things of the universe. This is the state of no self. To be enlightened by all things of the universe is to cast off body and mind of the self as well as those of others. Even the traces of enlightenment are wiped out, and life with traceless enlightenment goes on forever and ever.
就像道元禅师很著名的说到，学习要想修行道的话，其实就是学习自己，就是修行去理解这个自我，而自我的学习呢，就是要忘记自我。这个忘记自我或者放下自我呢，就是说让要用周围所有的宇宙的现象来让你开悟，然后。要让能够用周围现象宇宙所有现象能让你开悟的话呢，就是要放下身心，就像放下身心与其他现象的二元对立，只有当这些所有的开悟的影子全部被消除被放下的时候，连开悟本身也毫无踪迹的时候，这个才可以一直持续下去。
So ideas of self and others drop off. The world and the universe do not disappear, but our views about them do. And as Shantideva says, all the happiness in the world stems from wanting others to be happy. All the suffering in the world stems from wanting the self to be happy. So this is a road well worth taking. The cost of embarking on this journey, it varies with each individual. The investigation into the self is essential, whether beginning superficially or continuing relentlessly. We try to continue on, and we try not to be deterred in our practice. Thank you.
所以这种自我和他人的这种二元对立的想法，这种观念必须要放下，必须要放弃。虽然放下这种观念之后，整个宇宙和世界依然并不会消失，但是我们对他们的观念却不一样了。就像寂天菩萨说到的，这个世界所有的快乐都来自于你希望别人快乐，这个世界上所有的痛苦都来自于你希望自己快乐。所以这是一个这是一个修行的道路，也是很值得我们去修行道路上好好修行，好好开始的。因为不管怎么样，我们都应该继续前进，而不要被吓倒。好，今天我们讲的就到这里。